Five hosts, four divisions, all battling it out for the Holy Grail of the American Hockey League, the Calder Cup. This is the Holy Grail Podcast. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Paul, Zach Power, Andrew Rinaldi, Corey Swartz, and Dina Weinheimer.
Hello and welcome to episode 38 of Field Pass Hockey's AHL podcast, The Holy Grail. Guys, to kick off the show this week, and of course to let our listeners get acclimated to our voices and faces again, I have a new question for you. Who is the most elite AHL mascot? We're going to kind of jumble this up a little bit and go in reverse alphabetical order. So Zach, kick us off.
I'm going to give you a blast from the past, and I'm going to go with Buddy the Puffin. The national bird of Newfoundland and Labrador was the mascot for the St. John's Maple Leafs, the Ice Caps, and now the Newfoundland Growlers.
You got to love a puffin. You got to love a puffin. I'm going to go, what's up, everyone? It's Jeremy. I'm going to go with Chubby. It has to be Chubby. You, when your mascot's name is Chubby and you're the Checkers and you play in Bojangle Coliseum, that's a win. That is elite. As elite can get.
And hey, everyone, Dina Weinheimer here. I'm going to go off a little bit of the beaten path and not necessarily say a particular mascot that we know them or that we're used to seeing them in, but an iteration of the mascot. So we all know Solly in Cleveland. Well, he has an iteration called Swoley, which is an inflatable mascot. Swoley is elite. Prove me wrong.
And hey, everybody, I'm Corey Swartz. This question boggled my mind from the moment it was presented to me, and I'm probably going to bring this up again later on, but I have to go with Coco the Bear from the Hershey Bears. I mean, he's older than most of the AHL's teams as it is, being conceived on October 14th, 1978. He's done it all. There's a great video montage of just some of his antics from 1998, back when it was a different time. And, you know, he probably rivaled Gritty back then in terms of some of his shenanigans. He had his own ATV. He played kickball over on City Island with the Harrisburg Senators baseball team. Just anything you could think of, he was doing it. He was getting into fights on the field there, you know. And then you think of today, again, you know, they shoot a lot of great scenes with him. He played Pokemon Go back in 2016, you know, just a number of different things. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, how is Coco not the AHL's best mascot? I think it's no contest.
I'm Andrew Rinaldi. I'm not used to going last, but I tell you what, there's only one mascot who has never experienced an L, and he's not experiencing one here. That is Fuego down there in, well, Seattle for the moment, but soon to be Coachella Valley. And I mean, he can't be beaten because he hasn't been beaten. So I think I got to go with the new kids on the block here.
Okay. So you did prove me wrong. That's fine.
Yeah. Fine.
Well, guys, we got through the opening week of AHL hockey. Super exciting stuff, which means, as always, we have some breaking news. And you know, it didn't take long, but we already have our first rescheduled game of the season. Now, we're used to hearing rescheduled games due to weather issues, especially the last few years, COVID restrictions and protocols. But this one is actually coming courtesy of a power outage, of all things, in Utica during their home opener on Monday the 17th against the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Pens. Now, fun fact, this game was actually 35 years to the day after the first ever Utica Devils home game, which was on October the 17th, 1987, versus the New Haven Nighthawks. I was a bright and shiny three-year-old at that time, but, you know, those fans up in New York, up in Utica, they took this all in stride. Just don't believe me? Take a look at this clip courtesy of Spencer Davidson on Twitter. And Corey has a few more details about this.
Yeah, so it was a crazy scene there. Like you said, the Utica fans really took it into stride, but the comments posted their thanks and gratitude on Twitter on Tuesday afternoon you know, to the fans, the first responders, ushers, and facility staff for their cooperation and selfless actions in evacuating the building safely. The game has been officially postponed until Tuesday, January 24th at the Adirondack Bank Center, where they'll resume play from the moment that it was stopped with 2:43 left in the second period and the Comets up by a score of 2-1. Wilkes-Barre was just in the process of climbing themselves back into the game, being down 2-0 before that, before Ty Smith goal got them back into that. If you had a ticket to the game, you will be sent a free ticket to the postponed date.
Well, now that we have the breaking news taken care of, now we're going to do our weekly news recap. Andrew's going to start us off with the very first AHL player of the week.
Yeah, and it's right in my own backyard up here in Michigan. It's Grand Rapids Griffins forward Austin Zarnik, taking home the first AHL Player of the Week award of this season. With 5 points in the opening two games there at Van Andel Arena, 3 goals and 2 assists in that stretch against the San Diego Gulls. On the second game on Saturday, he put up his 4th career AHL hat trick, scoring twice on the power play and once shorthanded in just a weekend filled with offense between those two teams. You know, defense and goalies need not apply. It was a fun series to cover. And, you know, this Griffins team has some new faces in there. Zarnik's one of those. And he's really kind of endearing himself to the fans and to his new teammates. So congratulations to Austin on a great weekend.
And on the flip side, we also have our first suspension of the season. This one going to Laval's Mitchell Stevens, who has been suspended for 2 games as a consequence of a match penalty for cross-checking in a game versus Belleville on October 14th, which actually was their opening game. Of course, by the time this podcast is out, he will have already served the suspension, but we just wanted to let you know for, you know, prosperity's sake, I guess.
There's also some first goals for the Wranglers and Firebirds over this past weekend, and Calgary's Jeremy Poirier got the first goal for the Wranglers, which was actually his first professional career goal. You can see the pass out in front if you're on YouTube right now. Cole Lind also, who dominated on the weekend, scored his first goal, which was for the Coachella Valley Firebirds. And what a weekend it was for Cole Lind as he got a load of points throughout that series.
All I can say is, if you weren't watching closely, who was heavily involved in making that goal happen? Cole Schwint. We talked about him a lot last season. And, you know, looks like he's endearing himself up there, too. A lot of players getting their season started right.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a bright spot for Calgary this year, without a doubt. But, you know, speaking of some of the newcomers on the block, we've got some new leadership, you know, core here in both Calgary and Coachella Valley. So Calgary named Brett Sutter as their captain and had Matthew Phillips and Nick DeSimone as alternate captains. Coachella Valley named Max McCormick their first captain in franchise history, and then named Andrew Podorowski, friend of the pod, and Gustav Olofsson as alternate captains as well there for the team that currently resides in Seattle but will be packing its bags soon.
Well, we got another great show for you here this week. We're going to go ahead and settle into our normal show schedule, show routine here now that we are fully into the season. I don't have, in the traditional sense, a guest today, but we do have a very fun segment later on called The Wheel of Fate. Curious? Well, this is going to be fun. So stick around. You'll find out what that is. All I can say is it's fantasy hockey with a twist, but we'll go over more later. For now, though, you know it. You love it. It's swipe left, swipe right, where the guys here are going to share their hot takes from across the league, and we'll let them know, do we like it? Do we not like it? Or do we really like it with a super swipe up? And I'm not spending $14.99 again this week, I promise. All right, we're going to keep going in the same reverse alphabetical order because, you know, why not? So, Zach, lead us off.
Wow, I wasn't expecting to go first. So, folks, I got a little bit to admit. I kind of been slacking a little bit in the sense that over the summer, we've actually had a birthday. Now, I don't know if you guys remember last year, last year we celebrated the birthday of the AHL app's notification extravaganza, where it was everybody versus everybody. It was the day that was, you remember where you were. There's little things, and this be it one of them. Last year, I made the silly mistake of buying an expensive lighter. I have done myself a good deed today. This one right here, 42 cents. I did my best to make sure that we have a good quality lighter to be able to wish Stuart Zimmel a very happy birthday. In saying that, we will successfully light this.
Don't
do it again.
I'm on the set, folks.
Oh, no.
Oh.
He's doing it again.
He's doing it again. Do you know how to light a candle?
No, I don't. This is a bit of the problem.
You had to ask,
okay, do we not have the long-handled ones in Canada?
Yeah, but that would make too much sense. But I got to light this for my boy.
Not the middle finger. I've never seen anybody flick a candle or a lighter with their middle finger.
There we go.
Hey!
Yay! You did it.
Oh, it's only mild burns this time.
My swipe left or swipe life. Swipe right is that, will you forgive me now that I have celebrated his birthday and actually burnt my finger? Like,
oh my god.
So,
oh no,
this is where we're at, and I want to wish a happy birthday to Stuart and best of luck getting that. I think it was $2,000.
I can't let you burn yourself and not super swipe. I can't do that. That's cruel and unusual.
Man, I thought I had it this year. I thought this was going to be the year.
Yeah, I got to go ahead and give that a super swipe as well. I mean, shoot, that was a great bit there, right? There, you know, burnt your finger on and everything. Man, I can't. That's too good. It's a super swipe from me, too.
No, I'm going the other way. You burn your finger again because just the improper technique, I'm just like watching it. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I can't. If you light it without lighting your finger on fire again, like, okay, I could be, at least he's learned and we're moving on, but you're just running through the same mistakes again. No, I'm sorry.
I don't think the stream caught it last year. So afterwards, after that little segment that I did where it was a lot worse than what it is today, I might have spent about 3 minutes running my finger through cold water before dunking it for the rest of the episode and the night. So, it's great. I learned from last year, though, that you can use mayonnaise and it takes down the burn. But
that's the most Canadian thing I've heard on this podcast.
Right. I have to go with Andrew here and say swipe left because you've had a whole year to practice. And instead of buying, you know, like one of those extended lighters things that, you know, you just press a button kind of like you would like a water gun, like a and then a lighter, flame yeah. pops out the end. You could have used that. You had a whole year to practice and you went with the cheapo lighter. Oh no, Zach, I'm sorry. I hope you truly are feeling okay. I'm sorry your finger got flavor, but I'm going to have to swipe left, buddy.
Oh gosh. If there's one thing about me, it's that I definitely swipe right on people who make the same mistakes over and over again. But I don't know how to follow that one up, Zach. So I'm just going to keep it pretty simple here. Last year, we had Utica go on a 13-game tear to start the season. They weren't losing to anybody in the month of October. And I don't know that we're going to see anything like that this year. Definitely not making that prediction. That feels a little bit bold. But what I will say is that Milwaukee, the Admirals, will be the last team in the AHL to lose for the first time this season.
You know what? I can see it. I can actually see it because I'm sorry, Andrew, but all I've seen is pure dominance against Chicago. They're a complete team. And you know what? I can actually see it. I'll go for it, but I'm not going to say that they're going to go like double digits before they lose. But you know, if it takes him 5-6 games.
Pure dominance. What game were you watching?
I don't know.
He shot him 7-1 in the first 10 minutes.
But you have to look at all the other minutes besides that.
I'm not expecting Kochekov to have an 8-1-8 save percentage every game. I think Milwaukee's really good. I think they're probably going to take the Central Division. I'm riding the Coachella bandwagon. I think they're going to be the first ones to drop it. So I'm going to have to swipe left again. Well, I'm a lot pickier this year. I think I've set my standards a little higher.
Andrew, can I answer before you on the next one? Because I was going to say, I am here for the chaos, and Coachella has a goals for of 9 and a goals against of 6, but they have one of the higher goals against in the, you know, the unbeaten teams out in the West. And I love that storyline. I'm going to have to swipe left and say, go Coachella Valley.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to swipe left on this one as well, mainly just because I'm here for the chaos. Like Dina kind of alluded to, she stole the words out of my mouth as I was going to say. I don't ever like to, you know, see the projected team finish first. I like to see the chaos. So I'm going to swipe left on it for now.
I think we all have to agree of the currently undefeated teams, Coachella Valley would not spell the most chaos for a team that would go unbeaten. It has to be the San Jose Barracuda. Let's call it what it is. If they are the last team to go, that's full chaos. And that's, I would be into that. But
if they are the last team to go, I will order you like Uber Eats or something, Jeremy.
Thank you so much.
I don't see that happening, and I will take that up.
Just give me a little shark puppet. I'll just have a little, I guess it's not a Barracuda. Give me a little Barracuda puppet. I'll bring it to the show. It'll be our guest.
Sounds good to me.
So I'm circling back around from mine to the question from the beginning about the mascots. How disrespected is Hershey's mascot, Coco the Bear? I'm just saying, the more I looked into this, the more I felt disrespected by it being over here in Hershey. Coco does all kinds of things here. You know, he's been running around since 1978, doing a lot of shenanigans. He had the ATV, you know. That's just 1 year. I mean, you could just look on YouTube for just 1 year. I mean, if every year is like 1998, you know, what are we missing here? I think that, you know, number one mascot game has been lacking since, you know, I would give an honorable shout out to Melvin from Lehigh Valley for, you know, inadvertently kind of creating Gritty and kind of, you know, getting back to some more of these shenanigans. But I just want to see more mascot chaos. And I feel like we haven't seen as much. There it is on screen now. The ATV that Coco had back in the old arena, back in the olden days, you know, he got into some shenanigans here. I don't think they have anything quite like this in Hershey now. So, I mean, it's a little more tame. Coco got a makeover, and they called it him getting back into shape back in 2013 as part of his redesign, I guess you'd call it, with the new, when the Bears changed their logo over from the old swiping bear logo to what it currently is now. See, it was a little bit different back in the day, but, you know, aside from Melvin, you know, I don't think that any mascots really come close to what old school Coco used to do. I mean, it's a little bit of an open-ended question, but, you know,
I
think Coco's a little disrespected.
I'm all about giving him more respect. If you're riding around on a four-wheeler on a sheet of ice, and as I Googled him really quick, just to kind of reacquaint myself, the first image of his slim down season is him kind of pulling his shirt up to kind of see what's going on down there. So like, I love the moxie. I'm swiping right on it.
And listen, Coco's done some other things. Like, they had him off season training with Tux, Wilkes-Barre Scranton's mascot, a couple years ago. They had him go on dates for Valentine's Day. I mean, heck, they even had horror movie inspired teaser trailers of what Coco does when the Bears are away on weekends. And it's just him riding a, you know, tricycle down a couple hallways. Some really good shenanigans they've had him get up to even recently.
I'll certainly go for it. I think one of the big changes that you might have seen with mascots is, and I think it was kind of ruined by the Anaheim Ducks, who caused quite a number of issues in the early to mid 2000s, including catching himself on fire accidentally and burning motor oil all throughout the ice. So I think that that's kind of why you see a lot of these tamer mascots now, at least. But yeah, I'll certainly go for it, especially in the AHL. I don't think that there's too many mascots that are going for it like him. So yeah, I'll go for it.
This video is bringing me so much joy right now. I am just loving this. And I showed the clip of him tackling another mascot and then like all the mascots coming in and like puppy piling on each other. Yes. Swipe right. I love this.
I don't know a ton about AHL mascots. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a well-versed expert in it, but you've made a good case. And listen, if I run into somebody at a bar and I'm not sure about them to start with, and then they talk a little bit, they tell me a little bit about themselves and I dig it, I'll swipe right. We'll see what happens. Let's go with it.
All right. As the, again, I'm getting used to this whole like following up in the caboose here. So I'm going to allude to a segment that's going to be a little later on in this episode, but, I think it's time to start kind of yanking the officials back a little bit. The referees kind of need to stop being buzzkills when you got a couple goaltenders going at each other. And we give us a goalie tilt in this league already. I mean, when was the last one that we saw? I think it was Jordan Binnington and Phoenix Copley, and that was, what, 2018 maybe? I mean, whoever comes out and says, like, yeah, I don't really like seeing the goalies fight. Anyone? Anyone? I mean, that's kind of, you know, that kind of once in, it almost feels like once in a generation thing nowadays, especially with, you know, a lot of the rough stuff being taken out of the game. So if you get a couple goalies, I mean, everyone loves goalies. Everyone loves the scraps. Goalie scraps are stuff of legend. I say this as a guy who grew up almost watching Patrick Waugh try and fight every goalie that ever put on a Red Wings jersey. I want to see it, and I know a lot of fans do as well.
We missed one in 2020. Matt Tompkins versus Troy Grosenick, Rockford and Milwaukee.
Oh, that was that little spot of 2020 before that whole world-ending thing, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep, but before that, it looks like it was Binnington and Copley back in December 2017.
Okay, so we're not as overdue as I thought, but...
I enjoy a good goalie scrap. I'm not a huge component on fighting, but there's something about it when the goalies get into it. It's, yeah, I will agree with you. Swipe right.
What do y'all think? What is the over-under number? And are you taking the over and under on how many fights Kochetkov would get in if there wasn't somebody keeping him from doing so?
Like 16 and a half.
And I think I might pound the over, right? Like, I think that, like, right. He's like, he's a hothead and I love it. I'm all for it. It's just so unique, right? Like, it's just such a thing that separates leagues from one another, right? Like, to be able to entertain folks in this kind of a way. Like, we talked about it last week. If one of your skills as a goaltender is being able to play the puck behind the net and you want to go out past the trapezoid to play it, go ahead. If one of your skills as a goaltender is knocking the snot out of the other goaltender and they want to oblige, go ahead and do it. I'm all for it. So if I wouldn't have used the super swipe on Zach, you know, burning off some more of his flesh, you know, perhaps I would have done so here, but, you know, overplayed my hand a little bit there. Sorry about that one, Andrew. So it's just going to be a right swipe here.
I think it's a bit of an approach that the AHL has been taking over the past couple of years to kind of reduce that. And I think that's the same all across every league. I know specifically this past weekend, I managed to cover a bit of the Coachella Valley versus Calgary, and you kind of seen there was two fights in that game, but the referees were trying everything in their power to try to make sure that there wasn't really that. And that's kind of the same opponent, that the component that's seen in the NHL and other leagues, don't get me wrong, but I'm all for it. I'm all for the craziness. I grew up, remember watching Ray Emery just go absolutely bananas versus Buffalo, like whenever he could. And yeah, I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'd be willing to, you know, buy a super swipe for this one, honestly, because like as someone from, you know, Hershey, we've been I've been fortunate, as you mentioned, you know, Phoenix Copley and Jordan Bennington. I've actually been fortunate to see Phoenix Copley fight two times as a member of the Hershey Bears over the years. And like that just transforms the game story when you get to see something like that. I don't believe it was the Bennington fight, but I believe it was his previous one, which I believe would have been either 2014 or 2015 against the Bridgeport Sound Tigers at the time. It was a snowy day. You know, it was one of those days where you went to the rink, threw some snow. You weren't sure if you'd, you know, it was a light crowd because of the snow, all those kind of things. And then there was just this whole brawl. The you know, combining factor to both those fights is that there were other fights around that, and the goalies were able to get around the officials, which we didn't see with the Kochetkov fight that you mentioned there earlier. So, you know, it was still a problem even back then. And, you know, it just transforms the story. It becomes the story. You know, it's something that they show in video montages for the entire year, and it's spectacular. So I'm all about it. I'd like to see it more happen more often. Maybe not to the point where it's, you know, I know last week I advocated for goalies skating up and down the ice if they want to and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe not all the time, but if they're going to go, let them go. That's my philosophy, you know.
Now it's time for our featured segment of this show, The Wheel of Fate. So we have a new spin on the podcast this year and a new take on fantasy hockey. You know, we all know and love NHL fantasy hockey, but here at the Holy Grail, we've decided to take it one step further, hence the Wheel of Fate. So, rules. Basically, we have a random wheel generator that lists every single team in the American Hockey League on it. So on the screen, I'm going to have a listing of the positions that we have to fill. So we're each going to take turns on the wheel, filling out our starting roster of three forwards, two defensemen, and one goalie. So we have to pick a position player from the team we land on. But the key here is we cannot double dip on a player. So let's say we talked about Andrew Podorowski earlier. I'll use him as an example. So let's say Corey lands on Coachella Valley for a forward. He takes Podorowski. And then Andrew goes two spins later. He has to take a forward and he lands on Coachella Valley. He can take any other available forward, but he cannot take Andrew Podorowski, you know, again, if they land on the same team. So this is a team that the five of us are going to be carrying throughout the season. Now we are going to check in every so often, maybe once a month, or maybe just like who knows how often we'll check in, just whenever, you know, we have some time, just to see how we are progressing. At the end of the season, we will crown the Holy Grail Wheel of Fate champion. A trophy may or may not currently be in the works for the winner. We will see. But just because this is the American Hockey League, there will be some concessions. You know, if a player goes up to the NHL and, you know, somebody wants to swap out and take a new spin on the wheel to drop that player, that's fine. We can go ahead and do that. But they've lost rights to the player that they basically gave up. So anytime you want to re-roll because a player has been called up to the NHL, we can. Otherwise, we get five re-rolls throughout the season. If it's just a player that, hey, you know, they're not doing so hot, I want to use one of my five re-rolls, we can do that too. So the scoring. Skaters, goals are 3 points. Assists are 2 points. Shots on goal is half a point. For plus or minus, your score will either go up or down the same amount of points. Penalty minutes are worth a half point. Power play goals are one. Power play assists are a half point. Shorthanded goals and assists work the same way, 1 point and a half point. For goaltenders, wins are 3 points. Goals against is minus 1 point. Saves are a quarter point. Shutouts are worth four. All right. Got it? Makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, who would like to go first?
I think we should go in alphabetical order.
Alphabetical order? Okay. So that means Andrew gets to go first. Okay, so here is our lovely wheel. And because of, you know, a nice, easy suggestion, we will do this first round in alphabetical order. So Andrew's going to go first, and he has to pick a player from the Manitoba Moose.
Ooh, okay. I think I'm going to go with, there's a lot of, see, the Moose score, they're so very evenly lined up that there's never a guy who really kind of steps out. I think I'm going to go with Ville Heinola. I think he's going to be a big power play monster for that Moose squad up there.
Okay, we have our first player off the board. Corey, are you ready?
You know it.
Okay, let's see who we got. San Diego, we're staying Ooh. Out west.
It's one of the teams I don't know so much about.
Oh, you got a lot of good names to pick from there.
Ah, you know what? I got to go with my guy. He's out west now. I just realized this. Chase DeLeo.
That's a good one.
Got to go with my guy.
Solid choice. All right. And of course, I'm getting in on this action too. I can't let you guys have all the fun. So I'm going to go. Charlotte Checkers. Mm. I've got to go with my guy, Captain Zach Dalpe.
No
second thoughts. He was a scoring machine last season. Why wouldn't this be the same this season?
Hey, he's been there forever too. It's hard to believe it's been as many years that he's been there, frankly. And like you said, he was just as good as ever last season. No reason to suspect he won't be again this year.
Yep. All right, Jeremy, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Jeremy gets the Belleville Senators.
Oh, okay.
Sure. He doesn't sound too thrilled about that one.
All right. Yeah, no, I love Belleville. Okay. Man, oh, man.
There's so many great people to pick from.
Let's go with Jake Lucchini.
There you go.
I actually feel way more excited about that than I sounded like I would at first.
It's a pretty solid pick, though, right? Like, you got to think about it. Someone has to lead every team, so.
Well, I'm pretty sure he was a episode one last year highlight for, like, trade for future considerations.
He was. Good memory.
Wow. Yeah, and he's got he's currently sitting at one goal and three assists so far, so. Nice. 2 points per game. I'll take it.
All right, Zach, are you ready for your first spin?
Why not?
Okay, let's go. See, we have Grand Rapids.
Oh.
The first of the beat teams has fallen.
Jonathan Berggren.
Oh, there we go.
Johnny Berger is off the board. No question
about that. No way.
Andrew, pick number two. Let's go.
It's such a, like you said, it's such fate.
Ooh,
Charlotte again. Our first double team.
Yeah. Let me think. Sorry, kind of like I'm going back and forth across all the rosters here.
So for the viewers keeping count at home, he cannot pick Zach Dalpe.
You can't pick Zach Dalpe, right.
Yeah. Has Zach Dalpe played in a game yet, though? I think is he still up?
I think he's still in Florida.
Oh, heck.
I was
so excited to get him. I forgot that he's with the Panthers.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Riley Nash.
Solid choice. So, I guess I should say solid veteran choice.
Yeah.
Which he does have 4 points in two games already. So there you go. I might be using my reroll already. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Corey, you're up with the Colorado Eagles.
Another team I don't know enough about. These Western Conference teams, they get me every time. I'll go with another one of my guys. I'll go with Jason Megna.
This team is
just all Hershey Bears alum.
Has he played for Hershey
everywhere,
Bear?
Man.
Has he They're played everywhere. For the Hershey Bears?
It's a good – he has, yes. That's the reason why I picked him.
He was one of their top scorers back in 2018-19. So, you know, I always feel like it's a solid choice.
I always think of him as an NHL player when I think of him. I don't know why. I don't think he's really gotten a whole lot of NHL ice, though.
He's been on the cusp for a long time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. I have, the Providence Bruins. A team that went into the playoffs last season.
Oh, I have a great pick for you if you want a suggestion.
Do I go with a goalie? Or do I go with a player with a hot start?
Hot start.
I almost think I'm like nervous about when I'm going to pick my goalie, because what happens if your last role you haven't picked a goalie yet and you get a team that just doesn't have it?
San Jose. Well, San Jose's got Mäkiniemi now, so that's not bad. But if you get if your last pick is a goalie and you get picked, like someone else has their like stud goalie, you got to go with like the backup. I might start thinking goalie pretty soon.
Well, I'm going with the hot start.
There it is.
Fabian Lysell, 4 points in 2 games, 1 goal, 3 assists. He's also got 4 penalty minutes, so it might be a nice solid addition here.
I like it.
I like it. Yeah, he's been pretty darn good. He scored his first AHL goal and his first shot on goal, so you can't really beat that, honestly. Three assists.
Mario Lemieux-esque.
Do you know who else did that? Well, you know what? We'll talk about that later in the show. I don't want to steal Jeremy's thunder. I just now thought, like, wait, Jeremy's talking about that. Okay, so speaking of Jeremy.
Hello,
it is your turn again. And you get to choose someone from the Abbotsford Canucks.
Yeah, no, I'm a big Canucks fan.
They just were called Yulson, too, I think. Which would have been a nice pick.
Okay, let's go.
Rathbone's not down there anymore?
He's not.
No, yeah, he's been called up. But I think they just called down Sheldon Dry, or sent down Sheldon Dries. I'm not 100% on that, but...
God, I was looking at Colin DeLia and 780 goals allowed, goals against. so far.
Oof.
Can I play with 5 players? No, I'm kidding. did Sheldon Dries, did he actually get sent down? Is that real?
October 16th, assigned Sheldon Dries to Abbotsford.
There you go.
Yeah, let's go that route. He's probably going to bounce up and down a little bit, but that feels safer than literally any other choice on the team right now.
All right, and then Zach, we're going to get you up again. Spin the wheel. Manitoba. Another double team, the Manitoba Moose.
You know what? I kind of like Jeff Molot. I'm going to go for it. I think he's going to be my dark horse.
I like it.
We're all terrified of picking a defender, if you can't tell, except for Andrew, who took first overall.
Number one pick, Billy Heinola.
Good pick.
Yeah. At least he picked somebody that's playing in the league right now.
He'll be back down, right?
Like, yeah, he's got to be back down.
I think my favorite thing about you, Dina, is that you stuck with
Hartford.
Oof.
Oh, I hope your player doesn't want to go to the playoffs.
Anyway, finish your thought there, Jeremy.
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt the announcement of who Andrew is picking from. But my favorite thing is that in the NHL fantasy league that we're in, you picked a bunch of guys who are starting the season in the AHL. And in our AHL version of fantasy hockey, you picked a guy who's up in the NHL.
I'm nothing but consistent, right?
That's true. Man, I really kind of wanted to pick a goalie here, and I don't think Louis Domingue would be a bad pick, but I got a little bit of beat bias for Turner Ellison and CJ Smith.
CJ Smith is a nice pick.
CJ Smith is a nice pick. He's got no points yet. But I think that's going to change. I'm going to go with CJ Smith.
CJ Smith, the former Wolf, now with the Hartford Wolfpack, and now part of Andrew's Wheel of Fate team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Corey, you're up. Ooh, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, a team that you know about.
Perfect. Excellent. Excellent. I'll be taking Samuel Ayerson in goal. He's up and coming, but I had he was up in Philadelphia to start the season, got assigned to the Phantoms in time for Sunday's game, and, you know, basically did everything he could to keep the Phantoms in the game on Sunday with the Hershey Bears. And they just came out on the wrong side of it due to a, pretty fluky power play goal by the Bears with double deflection goal past him. But he's been solid. You know, I think he's going to be up in the big club soon enough, frankly.
All right, let's see who I got. The Hershey Bears. Ooh.
Corey salvates.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many good ones, though. I kind of want a defender, but I kind of don't. That makes no sense.
Got some good options.
But like, I get it.
There are some good options on this team, and...
I could tell you what my pick would be, frankly, which would be my guy Aaron Ness.
I'm debating between him and Dylan McElrath.
That's another solid one. I would go with Ness just because it's an AHL contract. You don't have to worry about him getting called up.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Well, he was gracious enough to come on our show last season as he was getting ready to head off to the Olympics. So I will give him, I guess, the honor of being on my Wheel of Fate team. So, Aaron Ness, welcome to the club.
I wish I was there for that.
That's two podcasts that are on our teams here now.
A new rule.
Yes.
Right. If they're on the pod, you have to pick them.
I'm like anxious. I have a way. Like, I've now told myself what team I want to come up, and so now I'm like petrified.
You should tell us.
Nope. I will just react. I can't speak into the universe.
Okay, let's see.
San Jose.
Oh, the brand new ones. Coachella Valley.
That wasn't what I was going to say. That was not what I was going to say.
I feel like it's obvious.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not. It's not. It. Trust me, it is not.
What's not?
The choice.
Is the new rule in effect, though? That's the question.
Okay, but there. Hear me out, though, right? Like,
you're the one that suggested it.
No, I know, I know, but I'm like nervous about like taking forwards for my first three picks.
I get it. Okay,
but also like Cole Lind looks, official, the real deal. Potts is Potts. Put it on a shirt.
DeCord was pretty good too.
But Joey DeCord, yes, DeCord that's exactly where my brain is at, Zach. That is exactly what I'm caught up on.
You got a tough one there, buddy.
Forward or goalie.
What do I do? DeCord is probably an easy call up for Seattle if you have an injury, right? Like, that makes some sense.
I feel like a lot of our goalies are going to be that way. Like, if there's an injury, you kind of got to re-roll.
You also have to think about Seattle's travel schedule as well for the first month. Are they going to be flipping goaltenders to just save exhaustion?
Man, oh, man.
I know I'm kind of...
I have to say the amount of help that everybody is imparting on their co-hosts, I am loving this. I love the
Although vibe. I have to say, I don't know that it's getting me to any closer point of clarity on this one.
True. Speaking of, Alexander True is another solid option.
That's true. Literally
yeah, no, go
true.
Ahead.
Literally true.
Yeah,
that's what I'd go with.
Yeah, I would be between True, Lind, and Podorowski, personally.
And DeCord.
And DeCord, yeah.
But also, like, what about Michael Kempney?
I think he's a little overrated.
He scored in that last series, I believe.
Oh, man. Corey going in on a former Bear?
Oh.
All I'm saying is he didn't score any goals for the Bears. So, maybe I'm just a little bit bitter that he's scoring goals for somebody else now.
Maybe.
All right, let's keep it. Yeah, I just have to do it. It's Potts. I have to. I can't not do it, right?
You can't not. I mean, it's Potts.
Oh, I'm gonna. I like it just like got ill. Look at my hair. I tore up my hair during that.
Got to reroll.
Yep. Yep. Got your rerolls. Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Zach. Oh. Back to back Coachella Valleys.
What are the odds?
I think I talked my – I'll keep this short and simple because I think I talked myself out of decord there for a solid second. And I'll go with Cole Lind.
Okay, so just a quick recap here. Andrew needs to fill in a forward, a defenseman, and a goalie. Corey needs to fill in a forward and both of his defensemen. I need to fill in a forward, a D, and a goalie. Jeremy has two Ds and a goalie. Same with Zach. Forwards are all filled up, two Ds and a goalie. We are halfway done. How are you guys feeling so far?
Back in for life, baby.
Yeah, solid. What do we got going on here?
All right, Andrew. You're up.
Hartford again? Oh. Well, I guess I got to go. I got to go with my goalie. I'm going Louis Domingue. I didn't. I was like, I don't want to take him, and now I'm taking him. So
he'd be a decent candidate to get your goalie fight in. There are a couple of times when the Penguins are playing the Bears. There's a couple of times I thought he was going to go with somebody. I think it's a fitting pick.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, Corey.
And you took what my pick would have been.
I'm sorry.
Fabian Lysel. Let me see here. I need to fill some of my slots here.
I will say it's fascinating the amount of doubles that we've had, and there's so many teams that we haven't even touched.
Right.
Don't really know that there's anybody defensively that I love on, you know, at least to chip in points-wise, at least. Mm-hmm. There's a couple guys I'd pick just for, you know, solidity. I'll fill in one of my slots with Connor Carrick.
That's who I was kind of sending vibes to you.
And you guys already know he's got the former Hershey connection anyway, so.
And Coachella Valley.
Ooh.
Oh, my former beat, how I love you. Jake Christensen, come on the team.
That's such a good pick. Oh, my God. It's all about the points with him.
As much as I was thinking in my head, if I landed on Cleveland, that I would take Marchenko or Meyer. There's no way Marchenko is going to stay up that long. We'll talk a little bit more here a bit later in the podcast. And I don't know. There's not many more solid D than Christensen. Thank you, Wheel. I appreciate you.
Wolf.
Come on.
I think they do have some players.
Well, of course they have some players.
Yeah, I think they have at least, like 18 per night?
Jason Demers, Calvin Pickard.
Well, I would say Seth Griffith, but all your forward spots are already taken off.
They have one of my favorite names from the playoffs last season, Samuel Dove McFalls.
And Greg McHagg, that's another great name.
That's another. Wait, he is quite the journeyman, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
You know,
you got Cal Pickard.
Yeah, that's where I've got to go, right? Like, I've got to go with the consistency in Cal Pickard. It's got to be.
Great interview. I just loved having him on post games just to chat with him.
Zach's turn at the wheel.
Goaltender.
Milwaukee.
Oh.
Wow. We got a lot of good picks here.
There you go.
He was winning goaltender, and now he's
thinking about it.
He's really got to think about this lineup here.
I only have defensemen left.
Defenseman and a goaltender. Well, obviously.
Because I think I seen Cooley during the playoffs, and I wasn't so hot on him. I got to be honest.
Jordan Gross is a solid pick.
That's who I'm kind of leaning towards, or Keaton Thompson.
You might even – it depends. I mean, you might even go Askarov there and that.
I can't be rolling on a share. All right, let's go Jordan Gross.
There you go. I think that's probably the smarter pick.
Yeah, because you think about it, Devin Cooley and Askarov are probably going to split, most likely. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to favor anyone towards the other. So, yeah. If I want the maximum amount of wins, then that'd be the case.
Okay, Andrew is coming up with his second to last spin.
Watch, now that I got my goalie, I'm getting Calgary. Lehigh Valley. All right. So I got a forward and a D-man?
Yes. You got some good picks here.
Okay, yeah. Can I phone a friend?
Yeah.
Corey, would you take Louis Belpedio or Cam York?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd go with Louis Belpedio, personally. He's impressed me sincerely over the start of this season. Yeah. He's made a few good plays. He had that overtime winner on Saturday in Wilkes-Barre. You know, just a very solid guy. I think he's really revitalized their core. And, you know, you also run the risk with, obviously, Belpedio's up as an extra in Philly right now, but it's only really a matter of time until I think York's back up there, too, as a first-rounder.
All right, give me Belpedio.
So Corey goes from the phone a friend to the picker, and he's got
Manitoba
again.
I don't know anybody from Manitoba in this economy.
Oh, is Kevin Stenlund coming off the board?
Oof.
Oh. Don't get me started
You want to just be, you know, tearing your hair out all season.
There's another former monster on there that I think played really solid last season that I would give a look at.
All right, hit me with a recommendation. I'm here for it. I don't know anything about these guys.
Evan Poli.
I mean, Mike Yeasmon. Again, that's the thing about Manitoba is that it's always someone else. Like, you're going to have a guy who blows up for a weekend.
It's a team effort.
And he's like, you know, riding third, fourth line minutes.
Evan Poli is going to give you good on your penalty minutes. Not as maybe as much on points, but.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
If you're looking for D, I really like the way Leon Gavanka moves the puck from the back end.
Stenlund's still available too, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, he is.
He's a minus two. Look, he's got 2 points and he's a minus two already.
I'm just trying to
career numbers.
I know Arvid Holm was decently good, but I don't know anything about Oskari Salminen.
You know what? I'll go with Leon Gavanka. Is that how you say that?
Gavanka.
Gavanka. Okay. Yeah.
He's Deutsch.
I love hockey.
I like the production I'm seeing over his couple of seasons back there. Plus minus is maybe a little rough. He's plus four though to start the season with a goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm liking the numbers. I'm liking career numbers last year. So I like it.
Yeah.
So I've got to go with a forward or a goalie from.
Ooh.
Forward, okay, but Berggren's off the board.
Yeah.
Okay, forward.
Oh, and you have both your Ds. Oh, Simon Edvinson would have been so good. I Brännström had a great second half of the season, all things considered, what was going on with the Griffins. He does cartwheels after every first star, so you know what's not to like. What's your lineup looking like again, Dina? Forward and goalie.
But I think it's
tough. I mean, I thought Okan Jura would probably handle a lot of starts. He kind of really struggled, had a lot of like not great goals that opening night against San Diego. So it's tough. I mean, Pickard would be a slam, but he's not there anymore, so
slight technicality. I'm looking between. I'm definitely going forward here.
Okay.
I'm going to take my chances on a goalie, but I'm looking between Hirose, Tutaev, and Shine.
Shiner is going to do really good in the penalty minute category.
Yeah.
He kind of had a career year offensively last year. This year, I honestly, I don't really see him snagging a lot of those opportunities he had last year. This team's way deeper. You know, now you have Zarnik, you have L'Esperance, you have – I honestly, if it were me picking your forward, I'd go with Matt Loft. Matt Loft was a point-a-gamer last year with Milwaukee. He already kind of seems like he's really endearing to the team, not just, like, offensively, but kind of, like, already starting to gel and get some chemistry in there. I think he's going to be a guy who plays up and down the lineup all situations. I really like Matt Loft.
You don't have to tell me twice. I trust you.
My recency bias there, I would have probably gone with Zarnik, and it probably would have bit me.
All right, Jeremy, you have to pick a defenseman. I have
no choice. It's gonna be Calgary, right? It's I wanted Calgary for the same reason that Andrew said he wanted Calgary.
So close, but you got in the right country, just the wrong side. The Belleville Senators.
Are you joking?
No.
Oh.
Would you like to use a respin right now?
Genuinely, huh? Like,
he shouldn't be allowed to respin on his first roll.
But I mean, he's just at least go through.
You know, they have a guy named Lassie, and I love it. I would go for it just for the name, to be honest.
And he's a first round pick from 2019. It can't be that bad, can it?
26
Christian
Rubens
wasn't a bad defenseman.
Yeah.
For the Marlies. I will say that. He graduated from the Growler system a couple years back when they won the championship.
There you go. He's a champion. Championship pedigree.
Played some big minutes with the Marlies.
Jacob Bernard Docker has two last names.
Yeah. That is also in the running.
That should be worth like half a point, right?
They're kind of on the same level, championship pedigree, and some of them are two last
names. And Dylan Hetherington's never been a scorer. Like, that's the issue there with him. Is like,
he's never been a scorer. He'll help you on the penalty minutes. He, former Jacket, I guess, just missed that championship team by 1 year.
You know what? I'm going to be there 2 weeks from today. He's from Tampere, Finland. Let's go with Lassi Thompson.
I like it.
Nice.
He had 26 points last year, 54 PIMs.
Watch, that's going to end up being like his MVP this year on Jeremy's team.
He's going to get called up. He's going to start playing like fire, and he's going to get called up.
I really need Calgary to come in clutch here. I need a bit of Wolf in my life.
Okay, let's spin and see what we got.
Hartford.
Texas. Oh, stop.
Texas.
Stop. They have the knockoff Matt Murray.
they have the we have Matt Murray at home.
No, they actually do have some good defensemen. I guess I'm just going to have to back myself into a corner here. Ryan Shea, Ben Gleason, or Alex
Thomas
Petrie.
Thomas Harley's out there.
Now I'm torn. I talk so much smack. Ben Gleason's
right?
Got to be like 60 now. No, he's not.
You can go. You can get Dobby. You can get Dobby.
Notice how he's not jumping on that right away. Oh, poor Dobby, man.
I thought he was in Russia somewhere, but I guess not.
I mean, Texas is kind of the same thing.
You know what? I'm going to go with Alex Petrovic because why not at this point? Let's do it. Because if I stay any longer, I will end up picking Dobby. I didn't see him under the three goaltenders that
we are in our last round. Andrew's got to pick a forward. Corey's got to pick a forward. I have a goalie. So does Zach. And then Jeremy has a D. So let's see how this goes.
All right.
Andrew, you've got Bridgeport.
Okay.
I think that's a new one. I don't think we've touched them yet.
I can't say I know anything about Bridgeport. I need a forward. Ugh.
Yes.
Chris God, Kyrie. They don't score.
Oh, yes, they do. I have a recommendation for you if you want it.
Is it Atu Ratu?
Nope.
Who would you recommend?
Go with Chris Terry all day, every day.
I was going to go with a former Griffin. I was looking at it, but I just, I just don't like a lot of the, but I guess if I have to, yes, I'm going to go with Chris Terry.
Yeah, I was thinking Chris Terry or William Dufour.
I was thinking him as well.
Okay, Corey, your turn.
Providence. Again. I already had a Providence so far today, did I not?
Connor Carrick.
Yeah, yeah, Connor Carrick.
Well, I'll go with what my second pick was, with Vinny Lettieri. I've always kind of liked him. He played for Hartford and then went west and then came back.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty decent, he's had a good start here so far, goal and two assists and, you know, plus one. He's been pretty solid over his career as well. So I like the pick. Maybe not in the plus minus, but it's going to be different because he's with Providence.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I have to pick a goalie from this team, and that team is Grand Rapids. That's my second Griffin. Okay. I wasn't thrilled with the goaltending prospects there, and apparently I put too much negative energy out in the universe that they decided to say, Dina, you will deal with this.
You're getting it anyway. Yep.
Yep. I'm thinking Brackstrom.
I like the energy that Brackstrom brings. I mean, Okenyora's got the experience. He's got the Olympic gold medal around his neck from last year. He didn't really have a good opening showing. And I think they're going to split a lot of time. I mean, you really just toss a coin, or you go really off the wagon and you go with Sebastian Kosa and hope that he kind of like comes in there and steals some of those games away from those guys.
How many points do your goaltenders could they potentially lose you? Because that actually might not be a bad play.
Let me go back to the script. Okay, so goaltenders, it's only in the goals against.
Oh.
This weekend would have cost you in the goals against, though.
Yeah.
3 points for a win, though. So if he's not out there, he's not winning, is he?
Right.
And 3 points is equivalent to a goal.
So Kosa is on the team?
Yep.
For sure?
Yeah, he was on Toledo in the preseason, but then they assigned him the Grand Rapids after that.
You know what? I cannot go against a gold medal, a recent Olympic gold medalist. I changed my mind. I'm going to go UC Okenyora. Grand Rapids, just a favor. Please do better than you did last season, okay? Please.
I got good vibes. I got good vibes.
Good. Okay. Jeremy, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Charlotte Checkers.
Okay.
And you need a defenseman.
I do. I do need a defenseman.
MDZ's on there.
I'm okay.
So. Apparently he's a mean DJ, from what I hear.
Yeah,
that's also what I hear. How many points do we get per vinyl scratch?
If you find a way for me to pull that stat, I'll give you 5.
Thank you so much. He had 27 points in 26 games last year with Belleville. I mean, it's not a terrible option, but he doesn't really. I'm not married. Nope. I don't like it. I don't like that at all. I don't like this at all. I mean, Lucas Carlson has played a grand total of 26 games in the last two seasons in the AHL, but he's got 18 points in those games. He's already got 3 points this year. What about
DZ?
MDZ.
MDZ.
MDZ. MDZ.
You know what? Let's.
You know okay, you want let's... to.
Okay. I'm between Santu Kinnunen and Michael Delzato.
MDZ.
Is it even a question?
MDZ.
Oh, you guys suck. No, let's keep things interesting. He's already got four wild cards. What's that?
I think. Are you going with a wild card?
I'm going with Santu Kinnunen.
I like it. A couple of fins on the blue line there for Jeremy.
All right. So we're down to our last rule. Zach has to take a goaltender.
You know, I asked for Calgary. I got Hershey.
Hershey.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Yes, for Calgary.
So Calgary's still playing hockey nowadays. I watched him in St. John's when he was okay. He was like Swiss cheese then, but he's probably not now.
He currently is 2-0 with a 9.43 save.
Zach Fucali, the former St. John's Ice Cap.
There you go.
Could have gone against the grain with Hunter Shepherd. He's a good up-and-comer.
And here it is, our Wheel of Fate teams. Just initial thoughts, guys. What do you think? Like your team? A little iffy on your team?
I really hope Hartford doesn't stumble down the stretch like they did last year, because I got a little bit riding on it. I'm very Atlantic heavy, which I don't know how well that's going to do for me, but hey.
I kind of like, I got Berggren and Lind, so if Berggren plays anything like he did last year and Cole Lind continues to be the best player in the AHL right now, it's all money for me, baby.
And gross on a good Milwaukee team. I'm not a betting man, but I think that would probably be my front runner right now.
I love my forwards. I feel really solid about my forward core. I've got questions on my blue line, and that has me a little nervous. So I think if I go back to the wheel at any point in the first couple of weeks, I think it's going to be to acquire a blue liner, because there's a lot of question marks about this finished blue line.
If we like named teams like we do in fantasy hockey, mine would definitely be Louie.
We can totally make that happen. Oh my gosh, I just not realized. Louis DePedio, Louis DeMay.
Yeah.
I love it. I am happy with my defensemen. I have a couple of questions up in the air. The big one being, how long is Zach Tappy going to be in Florida? I might be using a reroll pretty quickly here. I'm not sure yet. I'll give it a couple weeks. But yeah, as long as Grand Rapids, you know, kind of has a resurgence year, then I think I'm going to be set up pretty well here.
I'm mixed. I think my blue line's my main area of concern. I have what I would consider to be three pretty good AHL vets up front. It's just the defense is where I'm a little concerned about Connor Carrick's good, but he's a little, you know, sometimes inconsistent. I think you can get a little bit out of all categories from him. Just don't know enough about Manitoba to really be able to say I'm confident there, though, honestly. I'm okay with everything else, though.
Well, in a few weeks, we'll check in, see how all of our teams are doing. We're going to kind of go back to a normal part of our show, and we are going to check in on who's hot and who's not. So Andrew's going to get us kicked off here. We're going to go back to the standard, you know, alphabetical order, and let us know who's hot and who's not in your mind.
Yeah, well, I had a nice little time down there at Allstate Arena this past weekend. And while, of course, you know, as is kind of become normal for me. The Wolves lost while I was there. But there was a lot of hot going on, and not just because of the fireworks show that goes on with the Wolves pregame, but Pyotr Kochetkov, as we kind of alluded to before, you know, kind of getting real hot under the mask there. And as you see, he starts getting whacking, getting in the face of the Admirals. And, you know, he's, as we've kind of come to know, he's always in the middle of things. Look at him getting his stick involved. And as this scrum, this end of the game scrum kind of, you know, continues on, everyone's kind of, all of a sudden there's a little bit of activity there at center ice. And Devin Cooley comes up and goes and has a little chat, and here's Pyotr sliding into his DMs like, hey, what's going on? And again, refs getting in the way. Let the guys go at it. Let them, I mean, two goalies, and this is going to be a big rivalry all season long between two teams going for that Central Division crown, and he's really hot and fuming under the mask. Not well, I mean, I'm going back to Kochetkov. Probably his worst game in North America to start off there. He just didn't really look like he was having trouble tracking the puck. And, I mean, you know, getting back into game speed after the hangover of a Calder Cup, I get it. I'm not going to get on him, but not a great showing to kick off the season, for sure.
For mine, I'm not picking a game that was necessarily my purview here, but one that I did cover, it's Fabian Lysell. The rookie for the Providence Bruins had a huge opening weekend with his first AHL goal and his first shot in their game against Bridgeport, and then followed it up with a 3-assist night in Providence's win over Springfield. And so he's been fantastic. He's one of my players to watch for. They've gotten a lot of good production out of their rookies here early this season. And as for who's not, I got to go with a couple of guys from the Springfield Thunderbirds who surprisingly stumbled out of the gate to an 0-2 start. But I, you know, you could pick on a few guys from them, but you know, one guy I'm going to pick on just off the bat is Will Bitten, who kind of came up empty in Springfield's first two games. The guy they're, you know, kind of counting on a little bit after a very hot playoff year during the spring and summer. Yeah, there's a couple of guys you could zero in on that, but you know, in terms of the returning guys, he's the biggest outstanding one. That surprised me. He didn't chip in any points. So I'm looking for a little bit more. I think Springfield's, you know, far from in trouble at this point. You know, they had a couple of very close one goal setbacks in regulation, just didn't go their way for a couple of those games there. So I'm expecting a lot more from them in these next couple of games. They actually get back at it with a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals on Wednesday. And that's going to be an exciting one to watch for sure.
Yeah, and you can't talk about who's hot without looking at Kirill Marchenko in Cleveland. You know, he starts his you know, career in the AHL with, you see it right there if you're watching on YouTube, a goal on his first shot just a few seconds into their matchup against Syracuse last Friday. And for him, you know, I think some folks really expected him to be an NHLer, and some folks might, you know, start their season a little slower, not necessarily showing all of the hunger that Kirill Marchenko is showing here in his first few games. Here he is delivering and winning the season debut against Syracuse, and you know, we've got, you know, his third goal right here. And he's just looked so good for the Monsters. He's got three goals and an assist in his two games played so far. He's going to be dangerous for as long as he's able to stay in the AHL. He's going to be a weapon for the Monsters. They're going to be happy to have him without a doubt. And kind of on the flip, I'm not going to call any individual players out quite yet. We'll get there. I'll run some people to smoke next week. And I'm talking about running people to smoke, not running Zach's thumbs the smoke. But, you know, we've got to take a look at some special teams here. So, you know, to start the season, obviously you've got to work out some of the kinks, but some tough showings from the power play unit of the Iowa Wild. They've had 10 opportunities so far this season, y'all. How many times do you think they've scored? That's the big old goose egg. You're absolutely right. No goals on their 10 chances so far. And how about this? The Cleveland Monsters, on the flip of that, talking about who is hot, well, let's talk about who's not, have allowed a whopping 4 goals on 7 power plays.
That doesn't
sound ideal
good
to start the season. Can somebody let me know? Is that bad?
That's an oof.
That's
an oof. And to their credit, Syracuse has a couple of guys that can score when up a man, and so we'll hope that evens out. But yeah, we'll wrap it up. We'll start it with Cleveland and Kirill Marchenko scoring the first AHL goal of the season, and we'll finish it up by saying that four of Syracuse's 10 goals came on the power play this series. So that's my who's hot and who's not.
Oh yeah, and for me, I had a chance to kind of really look at Alex Steeves and just focus in on him over the weekend. And anybody on YouTube is now seeing his first goal from their second matchup against Rochester. And this man has really shown what it's like to be out there all over the ice. I mean, he had a goal versus Belleville against Rochester in their first game, and now in the second. He's really shown out to be a young player. I've raved on him earlier last season and again before the season, but this guy is going to lead the Marlies, and just you watch, he's going to be up there in the leaderboard for the league. And you know what? Who's not? Calgary's defense. I mean, just woof. And when I mean Wolf, I mean Dustin Wolf is the only thing that's left back there. Anybody who's got skates and a stick is pretty well useless. In that first game against Coachella Valley, they just looked absolutely lost. And you could see times when Coachella Valley would just get in there and get behind the defense and start passing around even at that. For me, the defense, they have a lot of veteran leadership. Nick DeSimone is their assistant captain. They got to look for better things with their defense because they can't be leaving the former AHL goaltender of the year out to dry.
Now that you know how some of the players have performed, it's time to see where the standings currently are in our race for the Holy Grail. Now this season, Corey will be kind of covering the Atlantic here. Jeremy will handle the North Division. Andrew, the Central, and then Zach will be bringing up with the Pacific. So Corey, go right on ahead.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting start up in the Atlantic Division, which features three of the seven teams to go 2-0 to start this weekend. And it's a little unfair to a couple of teams that have only played one game here so far. But those three teams are the Providence Bruins, the Hershey Bears, and the Charlotte Checkers. And, you know, I think it was solid starts for both of them. I think all three of those teams started at home. Yeah, to my knowledge, you know, there's a couple of surprising teams, you know, as we mentioned earlier, Springfield being at the bottom after coming up 0-2 in regulation is kind of unfathomable of the early predictions for sure. Got a couple of surprising teams like Lehigh Valley, getting a big win over Wilkes-Barre in the first game of the season on Saturday. They're kind of in the middle of the pack along with Bridgeport. And obviously Wilkes-Barre is trailing behind a little bit, but that's because one of their games got postponed halfway through it. So, you know, that's part of the issue there as well. So, yeah, it's a pretty good battle. It's pretty typical for what we're looking at here. It's, you know, got some good division matchups coming up here this weekend for sure, including two of the unbeaten teams in Hershey and Charlotte going at it at Bojangles Coliseum this weekend. So it's been a fun start up in the Atlantic for sure.
Yeah, and in the North, I mean, I alluded to them a little bit earlier, starting the season last year, 13-0. Well, no chance for that this year because Utica currently sits at the bottom of the North. They are the only team sitting at 0-1 in the North Division. And so, you know, as we look at the rest of the standings, you know, pretty tranquil as we look at the start of the season. You know, of note, the two teams out of the North that missed the playoffs this last year are sitting at 2-3. So Cleveland and Toronto, good showings in the first weekend, but Belleville currently holds that top spot in the North. And this is going to be another division, I think, this year that is interesting to follow. You've got a lot of different storylines. You've got a lot of pieces that have left a lot of these teams, and it's really just kind of a crapshoot of who's going to end up at the top of that division. Cleveland's made a tough case for it so far. Will Belleville continue to be as strong as they looked the other night? Is Rochester going to be as good as they were last year without a player like Jack Quinn or J.J. Pachurka? We'll see. We'll see how that one plays out, but the North is pretty tranquil to start the season. We're not going quite as hard as we did at the end of last season with the North, just quite yet.
Yeah. And I hope the rest of the Central Division is probably taking a snapshot right now because the Chicago Wolves are dead last in the Central. Now, I mean, they've only played one game, so, you know, enjoy it while it lasts. But at the top,
You have the Manitoba Moose getting 3 points in their two games. Milwaukee's only played one, but it was a win, so they're up there as well. Got three teams that split in Grand Rapids, Texas, and Rockford, each at 1-1. Then there's, Iowa, who's lost and then lost in a shootout, but it's still a loss. And then Lonely Old Chicago is the only team with no points yet. So, again, I'm sure everyone's pointing and laughing now, but, hey, only one team got to raise a banner this year. So I guess you gotta kind of take it. But, you know, it's still early. It's still early. We'll see how it looks next week.
Taking a look at the Pacific Division, I'm going to tell you something that I wouldn't have said 6 months ago. San Jose is tied for first in the Pacific Division with a perfect 2-0 record, both Coachella Valley and San Jose winning their weekend series. Going down the line, this is the order. All went 1-1 for this these couple teams. Bakersfield, San Diego, Ontario, Colorado, Henderson, Tucson, Abbotsford, and the Calgary was the only team that went 0-2 and in the Pacific Division, which would make them last. But there's still a long season ahead, and it's going to be a good season in the Pacific Division.
Now we're going to get their game of the week picks from their respective divisions.
I'm going to go with this weekend's series with the Texas Stars and the Iowa Wild. And for Iowa, I mean, you drop your first couple games. It's not a great look. They lost Cody McLeod. Marco Rossi is up there in Minnesota. And it's still a team that's trying to kind of discover its identity. I think they're in a central division that's it feels kind of wide open. I don't think, besides Milwaukee, that there's really a team that really stands out from the rest of the crowd. So they got a chance here against Texas, who's kind of in the same boat of trying to find out kind of who they really are. And I think we got a really good matchup. We're going to have some good hockey over here in the Central. I'm trying to stay away from the beat bias every week, but I can't promise that going forward. But I can promise you this week, Iowa and Texas, going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat trying to stay away from beat bias because I think Hershey and Charlotte are going to be a fantastic matchup this weekend to see if the Bears can finally get the monkey off their back down in Charlotte with Bojangles Coliseum. But the game I'm actually going to go with is another pair of games between the Cleveland Monsters and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms to open the season at PPL Center in Allentown. It's a pair of interesting games because the Cleveland Monsters are 2-0 and the Phantoms, you know, they're 1-1, sure, but, you know, they've played a couple of very tight games, and they've been surprisingly strong defensively. Now, the big question off the bat is, will the Phantoms have either or of Zach McEwen or Louis Belpedio, who are both recalled by the Flyers following their last game on Sunday in Hershey? But those two guys have been very instrumental in a lot of the offensive success that Lehigh Valley has seen so far this season. Obviously, they still have Elliot Denoyer, who has been fantastic coming in as a rookie here. I believe he has 2 goals in 2 games, if I'm not mistaken, including Lehigh Valley's lone tally in Hershey on Sunday. And the big thing to note about this matchup is that you can watch it for free on AHL TV on Saturday. It is the game of the week on AHL TV. So no matter what, you can pop into AHL TV, just make a free account, and you can queue up that game and, you know, see this matchup here. It's going to be a pretty good one Friday and Saturday. Really looking forward to seeing what the Phantoms can bring to the table for this one.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with previous beat bias, so I guess I'm excused a little bit, but maybe not too much here. Looking at Rochester and Syracuse on Saturday, Syracuse is a team that had Rochester's number all season last year. Syracuse had an 8-3-1 record against Rochester, who was a really formidable opponent last year. And so looking at that and just looking at the changes that have happened, obviously thinking about Syracuse being hungry for a win, I mean, obviously they could be sitting at 2-0 just as easy as Cleveland is right now, and so they've got to be hungry to get in the win column. So that one's going to be a fun matchup between the Americans in the Crunch.
Yeah, and give me Coachella Valley versus Abbotsford on Friday. Hey, who doesn't want to see some hockey in a practice rink at 3 p.m. Pacific at a practice rink? Honestly, though, Coachella Valley is a fun team to watch this year, folks. And I know the tickets are sold out for the Kraken Community Sportsplex. But if you do get a chance to watch them on AHL TV, I would strongly suggest you do it. They're a big competitor this year, and they have so many skilled players. And as well, Abbotsford, we kind of talked about them a little bit before in the show, but they are a solid team that can provide a lot of offense as well.
Coming down the home stretch, it is time for the bonus round. And Jeremy won last week. So I guess it's time to see what he has in store for us.
Yeah, so, you know, we started – how do we start the show, y'all?
Mascots.
Yes.
Mascots. So last season, the AHL brought back their Mascot Madness, a competition on social media that allowed fans to vote for who their favorite mascot was coming out of different pools. So can you tell me – the top three vote getters for best mascot in the AHL last season by fan vote?
No, I probably cannot.
Probably cannot.
I know it wasn't my guy Kokos. So that's why I was advocating for that earlier, frankly.
Didn't Wilkes Bear get in there?
Wasn't one of them Springfield?
Let's find out. I've got their name pulled up. Now I've got to look. Wilkes Bear, nope, they are not there.
Was Cubby in there at least?
No, sadly.
I thought he won it 1 year.
Travesty. Please don't tell me Syracuse got in.
No. Crunchman is not in the top
three. Manitoba?
We're just going to start naming teams.
I know. The issue is that the way that the AHL laid this out, like, it's not helping me in any way, shape, or form.
It's definitely one of the 31 teams that were in active play last year.
It definitely wasn't Fuego, I can tell you.
Was it Ringo from Texas?
Was it Ringo from Texas?
I feel like Ringo.
I think if it's in the top three, she gets it. I think that's the way we're going here.
I thought like maybe Ringo and Tux, which would be Texas and Wilkes-Barre. Yeah, Wilkes-Barre.
So Tux is not in, did not advance into the finals, unfortunately. But Ringo the Dingo was the Mascot Madness champion.
Ooh,
in 2022.
I'd say that's a W right there.
I think that's
all
right.
And then for all of those folks who are, I'm sure, incredibly curious.
Who was last?
You know, unfortunately, this is more of like a positive psychology thing. So sadly, we don't have who was last. I would have preferred that as well. But Gulliver, as you guys can guess, probably of the Gulls, of the San Diego Gulls, was second, a pretty close finish there. And then, not to be confused with the Blue Jackets defunct mascot, but how about Boomer being the third overall vote getter? Boomer, the mascot for the Springfield Thunderbirds.
So Springfield was in there.
There we go. Do you want to see a quick bit of mascot nightmare fuel real quick?
Always.
Is it Seattle's new thing?
No, this is
new thing.
This is from 1998 and 99.
Oh no.
Can we all agree that we're not pro Bowie though?
I don't know if anyone
I'm not sold on Bowie. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
I think we just need to fund the eventual cage match between Gritty and Bowie and just watch Gritty like knock him out with a chair.
Yeah, Gritty in a second.
Yeah.
What is that?
This is Lucky from the Kentucky Thoroughblades.
What is Lucky about that?
Oi.
Lucky,
we never had to see this until now.
He has his own card. This was one I've been waiting to pull out in this episode. And yeah, that was Lucky.
No, can you imagine you're in a school in Kentucky? And you're like trading hockey cards or something, and you're like, look at this. I have a Lucky from Kentucky.
Could you imagine like bringing your like 6-year-old child to a game, and then like that thing walks through the stands and waves at it, and then your child just is uncontrollably sobbing for the next hour and a half.
All I can think about is the song "Lucky" by Britney Spears being about Lucky, the mascot. Oh, no.
He's so lucky.
He's a star. He's a star.
He makes children cry. Well, oh, I think that's the perfect way to just wrap up the Holy Grail for this week. If you'd like to see or hear more of us, please subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Holy Grail. And of course, you can check out all of Field Pass Hockey's other podcasts, Inside the SPHL with James Hayes, the Three Periods podcast, I believe, is coming back with Matthew Harding, but I know that there is a new Wichita Thunder podcast called Rolling Thunder. Check that out, please. And then Syracuse Speaks with Alexander Ackerman, of course, a Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. And then in one way or another, we're going to get Monsters Musings rebooted, revamped, whatever, and get that out to you hopefully soon. So on behalf of my co-hosts and everyone here at the Holy Grail, we hope you have an amazing week, and we will see you all next Thursday. Bye.
Don't do it, Zach.
Oh no.
This has been the Holy Grail Podcast. Have a question or topic suggestion? Hit us up on Twitter or drop us an email. For the latest news across the American Hockey League and the rest of minor league hockey, download the Field Pass Hockey app, now available in the Apple and Android app stores.
Before we give our swipes, do you need to go run your finger under some cool water?
I'm all good. I'm all good. It's the black is just flavor. It's all good.
Flavor?
Y'all, I gotta say, my finger is like, whoo!
No.
Do you need to go run it underwater, Zach?
No, we're good. We're good.
Do you that need mayonnaise?
Way too similar in this way. Yeah, you need a cup of mayonnaise.
We need to DoorDash you some mayonnaise.
Send me your address. I'll DoorDash you some mayonnaise.
I was going to say that might be the weirdest DoorDash order I ever heard of, but then I remember that Zach's just in Canada. And I'm
sticks
sure that
his hand in his sandwich. It's a hand sandwich. Give me a second, y'all.
He's going for the water.
Mayonnaise. Oh, my God. Anyway, Zach.
That's hilarious.
You good?
Yeah, I'm kind of. I'm there good. You go. Got a bit of ice water. It's good. Hey, I can poke my fingers in for the rest of the episode.
You see how I can do that?
Wow, what a show off. Wow.